The Prophetic Gift in the Gospel Church. Chapter 8. The Character of the Revelations Given to Mrs. White. Satan's Plans Defeated. In the sixth chapter of the second book of Kings is found a narration of an interesting incident. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God, Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Verses 8-10. It is evident from this account that Satan was working through the Syrians to destroy the Israelites, but the word of the Lord by the prophet exposed his satanic work. The character of the revelations given to Mrs. White has been, from the first, to warn the church of the devices and schemes of Satan and to point out the way of escape from his wiles and snares. This has been apparent many times in the counsels and warnings sent to those in responsible places in the various institutions. From time to time, words of caution have come stating that if certain plans contemplated or already entered upon are carried out, it will be disastrous to the cause, and that such and such is a scheme of Satan's suggesting. Then the proper course to pursue has been given, and when followed, has saved the Lord's servants from defeat and his cause from disaster. Dorchester Vision. I call to mind a circumstance connected with Mrs. White's first visit to Massachusetts in the spring of 1845, as related to me by Brother Otis Nichols. She first met with the company in Dorchester in the spacious rooms of the home of Mr. Otis Nichols. A company of Adventist believers was in Boston, about 7 miles from Dorchester, and a larger company was at Randolph, 8 or 9 miles in the opposite direction. Mr. Nichols was anxious that Miss Harmon, now Mrs. White, should have an opportunity to speak to each company. He met two of the leaders of the Boston company, Sargent and Robbins, who professed a great desire to hear Miss Harmon. Arrangements were made, and they promised to have the whole company together in Boston the next Sabbath, Sunday, to hear her speak. At family worship Saturday night, Miss Harmon was shown in vision that there would be no meeting in Boston the next day, that the men who had expressed so strong a desire to hear her had made no appointment for her, but were going with their whole company to Randolph, and that she must go to that place and meet with companies at the same time. It was also revealed to her that the Lord would manifest his power in their midst, and all present would have an opportunity to learn that the visions were of the Lord. Accordingly, she went early Sunday morning to Randolph, arriving just as the opening hymn was being sung. Great was the astonishment of that company when Mr. and Mrs. Nichols and Miss Harmon entered the room. In the season of prayer, at the opening of the meeting, Miss Harmon was taken off in vision, while in a kneeling posture. Sargent and Robbins arose and declared her vision to be false, and from Satan, and said that if an open Bible were laid on her breast, it would at once bring her out of the vision. Mr. Thayer, the owner of the house, placed a large quarto 10-pound Bible open upon her chest. Immediately after the Bible was laid upon her, she arose upon her feet and walked into the middle of the room with the Bible open upon her left hand and lifted as high as she could reach, with her eyes steadily looking upward and not upon the Bible. She continued for a long time to turn over the leaves with her other hand and place her finger upon certain passages and correctly utter their words with a solemn voice. Many present looked at the passages where her finger pointed to see if she spoke them correctly, for her eyes at the same time were looking upward and not toward the book. She continued thus in vision all the afternoon until almost sunset, over 6 hours, the longest vision she has ever been known to have. In exposing the schemes of Satan against the Lord's work, this vision was in character like the one referred to above in the days of Elisha and the king of Israel. Prophetic delineation of character. In the 8th chapter of 2 Kings, we find that the prophet Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, "The man of God is come hither." And the king said unto Hazael, "Take a present in thine hand, and go, meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, Shall I recover of this disease?" So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels' burden, and came and stood before him and said, "Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, Shall I recover of this disease?" And Elisha said unto him, "Go, say unto him, Thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die." By reference to verse 15, we see that he did not die of his disease, but Hazael killed his master. And he, Elisha, settled his countenance steadfastly until he, Hazael, was ashamed. And the man of God wept. And Hazael said, "Why weepeth my lord?" And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child." And Hazael said, "But what? Is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria." Verses 7 to 13. It seems from this record that Elisha had previously been shown in vision that Ben-Hadad would be killed by one of his servants, who would then become king of Syria and would do great evil to the children of Israel. After answering Hazael's question about his master's disease, the prophet gets a fair look at the countenance of this messenger, and behold, he is the very one whom the Lord had shown him would be the future king of Syria. Many are the instances witnessed by the writer during the last 58 years in which persons previously seen in vision have come before Mrs. White, persons whom she had never met face to face until she came into a public assembly where they were. She then would single them out from the audience by describing their person or dress, and then give a delineation of their character, manner of life, etc., more clearly than their immediate friends and acquaintances could have done. This would be accompanied with kindly reproofs for the wrongdoers, or counsel for those needing it, or words of encouragement to those battling with the trials or discouragements of life. Attention is called, in illustration of this, to a case connected with the first visit of Mrs. White to the state of Michigan in the spring of 1853. Neither she nor her husband had ever been west of Buffalo, New York, until the day before their first meeting in Michigan, which was held in Tyrone, Livingston County. With scarcely an exception, all the believers in the state of Michigan were entire strangers to her. In this assembly, she was taken off in vision and saw all the Seventh-day Adventists in the state, then about 100 in number. In the view given her, testimonies were borne for some present, and for others who were in the state but not at the meeting. June 2, in Jackson, Michigan, she wrote 8 pages of foolscap paper, telling some of the things she had seen on this occasion. In this connection, the writer is pleased to say that he has in his possession a written copy of this vision. Among other cases described in that manuscript is the case of a woman who is trying to intrude herself among the believers. Mrs. White said the woman professed great holiness, that she had never met her and had no knowledge of her, only what was shown to her in the Tyrone vision. This writing not only told of the woman's mode of procedure, but what she would say when reproved. Mrs. White said, "She will put on a sanctimonious look and say, 'The Lord knows my heart.'" Mrs. White further said, "This woman is traveling about the country with a young man, while her husband, an old man, nearly twice as old as his wife, is at home, toiling with his hands to support them." She said the Lord had shown her that, notwithstanding the woman's pretensions to holiness, she and the young man were guilty of violating the seventh commandment. From the Jackson meeting, I was privileged to accompany Elder and Mrs. White to the other appointments of their 4 weeks' visit in Michigan. I was a stranger in the state, but supposed we should see the woman at some of the meetings, as the appointments were so arranged that all our people in the state could attend some one of them. With the written document in my pocket, I watched with no ordinary interest as we went from place to place to see how this case would develop. Developments at Vergennes, Michigan. The appointments for the above meetings were in Jackson, Battle Creek, Bedford, Hastings, and Vergennes. The last-named place proved to be the one where the woman lived of whom Mrs. White had the view in the vision given at Tyrone. June 11, we drove 40 miles to reach Vergennes. Our first meeting was to be held the next morning, 2 miles farther on from our lodging, and the woman described in the vision lived 3 miles still farther on. At 11 o'clock, June 12, our meeting was opened. Mrs. White sat at the left end of the rostrum. I sat next to her. Elder M. E. Cornell sat next to me, and Elder White was at the right of the rostrum speaking. After he had talked about 15 minutes, an old man and a young man came in together and sat down on the front seat next to the rostrum. They were accompanied by a tall, slim, dark-complexioned woman who took her seat near the door. As these persons came in, Mrs. White looked at them steadily for a minute or two, then raised her fan and in a low whisper asked the writer if he noticed the persons who just came in. Said she, "Those are the ones the vision is about. When my husband closes his discourse, I will relate the vision, and you will see whether they are the ones." After a short discourse from Elder White, Mrs. White arose and quoted the text, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." She said, "It is not the Lord's order to call a woman to travel about the country with any other man than her husband." Finally, she said plainly, "That woman who sat down a short time ago near the door claims that God has called her to preach. She is traveling with this young man who just sat down in front of the desk, while this old man, her husband, God pity him, is toiling at home to earn money which they are using to carry on their iniquity. She professes to be very holy, to be sanctified, but with all her pretensions to holiness, God has shown me that she and this young man are guilty of violating the seventh commandment." As Mrs. White bore her testimony, there was an anxious looking toward Mrs. Blank, the woman reproved, to see how she received it and what she would say. Had she been innocent of the charge against her, it would naturally be expected of her to rise up and deny the whole thing. If guilty and grossly corrupt, she might be none too good to deny it all, even though she knew it to be true. Instead of this, she did just what the testimony said she would do when reproved. She slowly rose to her feet, while every eye in the house was fixed upon her, and, putting on a sanctimonious look, said, "The Lord knows my heart," and sat down without saying another word. She had said just what the written testimony said she would say, and said it in the same manner. In the practical working of the gift of prophecy, this case compares in kind with that of Hazael before Elisha. We have now made a comparison of Mrs. White's visions with 15 points mentioned in the Bible respecting the visions of God's prophets and their practical working, and conclude that as the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, and as like causes produce like results, the results manifested in this case are a substantial proof that these visions are from the Spirit of the Lord and are a token of the Lord's care for the remnant church, which He is gathering out of the world in these last days.